Well, over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at possessions and money and how these things can get attached to our hearts, how our hearts can be drawn to the things of this world that are simply passing away. They're only temporary. And this can be a temptation for all of us. Doesn't matter who we are. You could be 8 years old or you could be 88 years old. We live in such a land of plenty where our eyes are just drawn to the possessions of this world and the things of this world so often. It can be a temptation. But another temptation that we may face is this. It is that we may worry or we may become anxious that we're not going to have enough possessions or enough money to make it through the next day to survive in this world. And Jesus deals with this temptation today in our passage as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. And if you think back to when we looked at the Lord's Prayer, you could say he really touched on this temptation when he taught his disciples to pray this: give us this day our what? Our daily bread. And now today we're going to look at a passage where he really goes into great detail about this topic. So our passage this morning is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. I know it's a very familiar passage, I'm sure, to most of you that are here this morning. But Jesus, again, speaking to his disciples, says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Well, if we were in English class right now, and I were the English teacher, and I were to ask you, okay, class, what's the main point of what I just read to you? What would be the main point? It is, do not worry. Do not be anxious. We find Jesus say this three times in this short passage. Do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. And so if you're here today and you're one who tends to be anxious or you tend to worry, Jesus gives us some great counsel in this passage, some great help. He's such a wonderful counselor. You know, he doesn't just say, remember that old song, you know, don't worry, be happy. Right? He doesn't just throw that out there and say, hey, just don't worry about it, be happy. But he gives you some help. Here's why I don't want you to worry as my followers, as my disciples. And he gives us some reasons why. And reason number one is this. The first truth is this. He reminds his disciples of the value of life. He says this again in verse 25. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Jesus is saying, hey, just stop for a minute and pause and think about your very existence. The fact that you live and move and have your very being. Do you ever just stop and just sit in awe and wonder sometimes that you're an actual human being? You actually exist. Like, isn't this weird? I'm actually a person and I exist upon this world, and I'm made in the image and the likeness of God. I have a life that's been given to me by God. And Jesus, I believe, is stressing here to his disciples that, remember this, guys, God is the giver and he is the sustainer of life. And as the giver and the sustainer of life, know this, that because God is all-knowing, He knows everything. He also knows this. He knows how long you're going to live upon this earth, how long your life is going to be, your precious life in His sight. We read this from the book of Psalms as David says this in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. He says this, he says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body." And here's the kicker. "All the days ordained for me were written in your book when before one of them came to be." God is sovereign over our lives from conception to the time we breathe our last breath. Question, how many of you decided when you would be born? How many of you had a say in the day of your birth? Anybody? How many had a say in who your parents would be? Anybody? No. We had no say in that whatsoever. And so as we think about our lives, here's what we need to come to understand, that because we exist today, because we're alive, it's because of the sovereign will of God. God has willed it to be that we're here today. And if God has willed us our lives to be, then God knows the number of our days as well. And so if God knows the number of our days already, then why do we worry? Why do we worry? If He can uphold the universe by the power of His word, His marvelous creation, do you think He can take care of us? This is what Jesus here is pointing out to His disciples. And David knew that as well. David says that God knows how many days we will live upon this earth. And even if there is a, quote, accident or a, quote, tragedy from a human perspective, guess what? God knows that as well. And God has ordained the days to be. He knows that. And so we can rest in Him. We can trust in Him. As many of us have learned that song growing up in maybe Sunday school or vacation Bible school, He's got what? The whole world in His hands, right? He's got you and me, brother, you and me, sister, in His hands. Hey, if He's got the whole world in His hands, certainly He can take care of you, brother. He can take care of you, sister. And Jesus says in verse 27, He says, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" And I don't know if it's true, but if you read the research, doctors and health people will tell you this, that actually worrying and anxiety will kind of take years away from your life as opposed to adding those years. And Jesus says, you can't control that, so why do you worry? Why are you anxious? The second truth that Jesus gives us for not worrying is by way of illustration. And He gives us a couple illustrations from nature, from creation. And the first one is this. He says, look at the birds. Any bird watchers here? Anybody have a bird feeder in their backyard? Some of you maybe like to put a bird feeder out there so you can get a close-up look at the various birds that come in. But you may thinking you're really helping that bird out, but let me just break it to you. That bird, he'd survive okay without your bird feeder. It's nice that you do that. You have a bird feeder, great. But that bird would be just fine on his own with his God-given instincts that he has. If you notice out here, if you walk outside of our church building and you go out to the grass and you look up in the corner of the building under the downspout, you'll find a bird nest right there. And a few months ago, a robin started to build that nest. And so every day I walk into church, and that robin flies out, and then you see him fly back in. And eventually that robin had some eggs in there, and there was actually at least, I know, three birds that were in that nest. And just the other day, 2 days ago, me and Tom Biamonte were sitting out on the bench out there, and we got to see one of the birds plop out of the nest and then begin to learn how to fly. And it was amazing. I mean, nobody really taught the bird. He just flew. But the point being is this, that mama bird, that daddy bird, whoever gets the food for him, they were able to supply not only their own needs, but the needs of their family, which is another little side note. If you have one kid or 12 kids, God's going to provide for you in that area if you just trust him. But anyway, back to the birds. That bird, I never saw him whine or complain, or heard him whine and complain. I know birds don't talk, but he just seemed not frazzled at all. Because why? Because he knew that he would have enough. God would provide those worms or wherever he goes and gets. He's not in a constant state of frenzy or worry. And Jesus says, look at the birds. You know, they're not all stressed out. They know they're going to have their daily needs met. And Jesus says, do the same in your life. Notice, though, Jesus, when he talks about, or as we think about birds, rather, it's important to point out that birds do work, don't they? They may not store up, but they do work. They're not lazy. And so you don't find Jesus saying, hey, look at the birds. They just sit in their nest and God just miraculously drops things into the nest and they don't move an inch. No, they have to go out and gather that worm and bring it back. So there's some work, just like in our lives. We're called to work. If we want to eat, we need to work if we have the ability to do so. But Jesus also said this, notice that the birds don't store up things in barns. They just live day to day. They go out for the day and they get their food. Next day, same thing. Now, some would read this and say, well, it's a sin to have a barn. Or don't ever store up stuff in your cupboard or things like that. I think they're taking the analogy a bit too far there. It's okay to have a cupboard. You don't have to shop every day just to be like the bird there. But the point is what? Do not worry. That's what Jesus is communicating here to his disciples. If God provides for the birds, and if you are much more valuable than the birds, how are you more valuable? Well, you have an eternal soul. That bird does not have an eternal soul. Jesus didn't die for the birds. He died for human beings who are made in the likeness of God. And because we have more value than the birds, don't you think God is able to take care of you? So don't worry, is what Jesus says. Well, the second example from nature is the flowers, or most translations have the lilies there. I know some of you may be into flowers and like to maybe go off to a highway and visit Lydia and purchase some flowers there. And if you get flowers in a pot, what do you have to do? You have to kind of keep watering so that they don't die. But the flowers that Jesus is talking about here is more what we call maybe the wildflowers, the lilies. We've got some lilies out here by in front of the church there, and there's some over at the parsonage. And as you drive down the streets, you may see some wild, like tiger lilies, right? Those orange lilies, they're just growing. And guess what? Nobody does anything for those flowers to grow. They just grow. And yet, they're so beautiful to look at. The lilies are a beautiful flower. And so what Jesus points out is this. However, have you ever seen a flower just laboring away at a sewing machine because it needs to make some clothes for itself? No. The flower is beautiful because God has clothed it as he wills. Now, some have tried to make the case that as Christians, we should all be beautifully dressed, right? I mean, look at the lilies there. So we all should have these beautiful, extravagant clothes. This is what, no, I don't go down that trail. This is not what Jesus is saying. Again, the main point is what? Do not worry about clothing. God will provide for you. And so in light of what Jesus says about the birds and about the flowers, how should we live? As we continue to look at our passage, number one is Jesus says, do not be like the pagans, or do not be like the Gentiles. And by pagans, Jesus simply means those who don't have God in their lives. They live their lives without God. They don't want God in their lives. They live for themselves and they trust in themselves. This is the idea of a pagan or a Gentile here. And this is what Jesus says in verse 32. He says, "For the pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Jesus says, these are the things, food and clothes, that the pagan chases after, that they pursue. And given the context of being anxious and worrying about these things, likely what Jesus has in mind are those pagans who are afraid that they're not going to have enough to survive. They're running around saying, "Oh, no, no, how am I going to ever have food? How am I ever going to have clothes? How is this ever going to happen? I don't know how it's going to happen." And so they're always chasing after clothes. They're always chasing after food. They're always chasing after those things without looking to God to provide for them. And we can take this one step further. As we think about the culture that we live in today, our prosperous, abundant American culture that we live in, because this may not be such a temptation for our American culture, but what can be a temptation? Not that we won't have stuff tomorrow. We won't have food and clothes tomorrow. I think most of you are probably not worried that you're going to have food and clothes tomorrow. But what do we wrestle with? We won't have the kind of food and the kind of clothes that we want tomorrow. This is what we may wrestle with in our culture, where we're consumed with just getting that next best food item, you know, going to the best restaurant in town, or spending all day looking at clothes online, finding the best clothing you can wear. We can become consumed with that as well. And Jesus says this: don't be like them. Don't give so much mental attention to your food and to your clothing where there's no room in your mind for God. And so rather than being pagan-minded, Jesus wants his disciples to be what? Kingdom-minded. And there's a couple ways I want to mention today. Number one, by being kingdom-minded, we need to do this. We need to trust in our Heavenly Father. Trust in our Heavenly Father. Why? Because, again, he knows what we need, and he's promised to provide for us. And as we think about the disciples, as we go back to think about their lives some 2,000 years ago, it's hard to imagine, isn't it, what it must have been like for them to not have refrigerators and freezers and packaged food that can last for months and months and months, how they really had to trust in God for their daily needs. But this was especially applicable when we think about what would soon happen. Because Jesus would soon send them out two by two to preach the kingdom of God. And so we read this in Matthew chapter 10. Let's look at that. In Matthew 10, we find that Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Now, before I read the passage, important thing to note out is that Jesus gave the 12 that authority. He didn't give all his followers, all his disciples, that authority. So when you come across people today that says, "Well, if you're a Christian, you should have the authority and power to be healing the sick and raising the dead," say that's not what it says. He gave the 12 that authority, not everybody that authority. But let's look at what happened in the lives of these disciples, these 12. Verse 7 says, "As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Here's the kicker: "Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep." And he would go on to say this: "Whatever town or village you enter, search for someone, some worthy person there, and stay at his house until you leave." What was the point? Jesus says, "You just go, and I'll provide. Don't take all kinds of extra stuff, suitcases. You just go, and I'll provide. I'll provide." Jesus was teaching them to trust in the Father. saying, hey guys, you just go out and be obedient. As we read in verse 33, it says what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Just do that. You focus on that. And what will happen? All these things will be added to you. All these things will be given to you. Well, what are all these things? A private jet? 36 mansions that they can divide by 12 and they all get 3 each? No, what are all these things? Food, drink, and clothing. That's the all these things that Jesus is speaking about here. As they put the kingdom of God first, he would take care of their daily needs. He would provide for them. And so too, we need to remember this message for our lives today. God says, you just do the work that I've called you to do, and I will take care of your needs. And that work, for many of you, may look maybe all kinds of different things. Your work may be as a nurse, as an electrician or carpenter, maybe as a mechanic, architect. You may be at home raising children, whatever your work may be. God says, you just do the work and I'll provide. Do the work that you're called to do. God is faithful. And I pray that as you, most of you have what we call regular jobs or secular jobs, I pray that you would see your job as really a mission field. And that you would see yourself as a full-time missionary. Because we're called, as Paul says in Corinthians, ambassadors of Christ. And so as we go out into the world, as we seek first his kingdom, as we be obedient to what he tells us to do, God says, I'll provide. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'll provide for your needs. And one great way that we can reflect Jesus, that we can reveal the kingdom of Christ to this unbelieving world, is by trusting in our Heavenly Father every single day. For when people look at us and they see us not worrying or not being anxious, they may start to scratch their heads and say, why aren't you all frazzled? Why are you so calm? Why aren't you worried? Don't you read the newspaper? Why aren't you upset? And you can say what? Well, I'm just trusting in my Heavenly Father. I know he's going to provide for my needs. And I'm not worried. He's going to provide. And maybe you could even read the scripture that we looked at this morning. God will provide. And number two, finally, is this. Another way we can be kingdom-minded is to be content. And really, when you think about contentment, it's a byproduct, or it's a fruit of truly trusting in God. When we truly trust in God, contentment is born in our lives. And though I believe the main focus on our passage today is on worrying about what we may not have, about what we might lack, on the flip side, we can also worry or be consumed with seeking after more and more of the things of this earth. And this is what Jesus just touched on earlier in Matthew 6 when he said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And he would say this, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And we can certainly get caught up in this attitude, can't we? This YOLO, right? You only live once, right? So YOLO, just enjoy all the pleasures you can, right? Right? There's a new gadget that's advertised. It's only $19.99. It's a limited time. I need that gadget. I need that. I'm going to get that, right? Or again, maybe you're consumed with food and the latest food and the best food, and you've got to just try everything. Or maybe it's clothing. Or maybe it's just adventures. You need to go here and experience this and go there and experience that. And your mind is just consumed with all the stuff of this earth. Now, please don't misunderstand me. If you go on vacation to Maine and you want to eat a lobster, go eat a lobster. Have a great time. Lobster's wonderful. You want to go visit the Grand Canyon? Go for it. Go visit the Grand Canyon. All I'm saying is don't let your mind be consumed with the things that are passing away. Don't let your heart be attached to the food, the clothes, the adventures of life that are all passing away, that are all destined to perish. They're all going to burn up in a ball of fire someday. But there's some things that are going to remain forever. Those are kingdom things. And that's where our hearts and minds need to be fixed upon and focused upon. And the way we can avoid this pitfall of having hearts, and the way we can avoid this pitfall is by having hearts that are content, hearts that are satisfied with the one who is called the bread of life and living water. We find these words from the Apostle Paul on contentment in Philippians chapter 4. He would say elsewhere, if I have food and clothing, I'll be content. But he says this in Philippians 4, 11 or 13. He says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And Paul would certainly have his share of trials. He would have a lot of trouble in his life, but yet God could still give him the spirit of contentment that he seems to have because he trusts in the Lord. Well, as we close today, let me remind you again of the main point that Jesus is conveying to his disciples. And it is this, what? Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. If you are a Christian and you struggle with worry and anxiety, let me remind you again of what the Word of God says, the inspired scripture in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. I know it's a very familiar passage to most of you. Seems like we read it every Wednesday night before prayer. But Paul says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you struggle with anxiety and worry, what's the solution according to God? It is pray. It is bring it to God and then leave it with God. What does Peter say? Cast all of your cares upon God. Because why? Because he cares for you. If he cares for the flowers and the birds, how much more does he care for you? And if you say, yeah, I trust God, but. No, there's no buts. It's just either you trust God or you don't. Do you truly trust that God will provide, that God will take care of you, that God knows the number of your days, that if my days are only 58 years, that if today is the very last day of my life, then why worry about tomorrow? Because it's never even going to happen. Now, I don't know that I'm going to die today, but if I did, I shouldn't worry about tomorrow because I trust in my sovereign God who has promised to take care of me. And if today you're here and you've never come to believe in Jesus, then you need to give him your heart. You need to give him your life and surrender to him. You see, there's something much more important than just our human bodies, and that's the soul or the spirit that we have. This part of us that's been made in the image and the likeness of God. We're image bearers of God, but our images have been shattered by sin. And because we're sinners by nature and sinners by choice, we need God's mercy, we need his forgiveness, we need the blood of Christ to cover our sins, to wash us clean. And so today, if you're not in Christ, then I plead with you to turn to him. Put your faith in Christ, the one who died on the cross to pay the price so that you could be forgiven, who was buried, who rose again on the third day to defeat death and the devil and his demons, and to promise to give you everlasting life. You see, if you're in Christ, here's one thing, you'll never have to worry about spending a nanosecond in hell. You'll never have to worry about ever being separated from God for one nanosecond. You'll never have to worry about facing the holy wrath of God if you're hidden in Christ, if Christ is your hope, your salvation today. So if you don't know Jesus, turn to him today. Turn from sin and trust in Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the glorious gospel of Christ, that you provided something much greater than our daily needs, our food and clothing and shelter. You provided forgiveness of sins. You've given us eternal life through Christ. And God, help us to glory in that truth, to know that all the things of this earth are passing away, but life in Christ is eternal. Oh Lord, please set our hearts aright. Help our hearts to not be too attached to the things of this world. Lord, to enjoy them, but not to adore them and to cling to them, Lord. But to hold on loosely to these things. Father, thank you so much for the words of Christ today. And help us all not to worry, but to trust in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.